Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, coming to you from the iconic Herb's House Coffee here in Dallas, Texas. You need to come. Kent, I've got, Herb's House right here,
yes.
Got the Herbster right here,
yes.
Which, I mean, we just love the Herbster, which is coffee on wheels, Joe to go,
That's right.
So we're in Ephesians 6 and verse 17 for our devotion today. And it's the title of this is The Sword of the Spirit. And I love this. And we're in this section on spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6. And this is the final piece of putting on the full armor of God. And Ken, it's often been said that the first five pieces are really kind of defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that now we take the offense with the sword of the Spirit. We don't just take it. I mean, we are inflicting it. With this sword in our hand. So let me just read this. At the end of verse 17, it says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Ken, if we know this just even from sports. If all you do is play defense, you're never going to win. You got to take the offense. If you're going to score and win the game, the same is true in war. And in battle, and the imagery here is of a Roman soldier advancing into battle, and he has to have, every piece of the armor on. But once he shows up in battle, he can't just be deflecting flaming arrows all day and broadswords. No, he's got to retaliate, and he's got to go after the enemy, and if he's going to win. And so that's why he now comes to this final piece that he calls the sword of the Spirit. Now, this word for sword is not referring to the large broadsword that was multiple feet long, but to really a short dagger that would be anywhere from like 6 to 18 inches long. And so that indicates that it would be used in very close hand-to-hand combat. And the Roman soldier would carry it on his belt. And so it's always right at hand and ready access and ready to be used in close spiritual warfare. And he says, the sword of the Spirit. And what this is saying is that this sword has come from the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who has worked through the biblical authors to record the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. And so the Holy Spirit is really the author, capital A, of every passage of scripture. And the Spirit also is the one who brings to the forefront of our minds just the right scripture that we need as we're in the midst of battle. That there are specific passages that apply to specific temptations that we face or specific opportunities to witness for Christ. The Spirit who authored the Bible is the same Holy Spirit who brings to our remembrance just what we need at the right moment. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, when he sent out the disciples to witness, said, it will be given to you in that hour what to say. And the Holy Spirit is still doing that with us. And Kent, sometimes when I'm preaching, I've got my notes there, but suddenly there's just a passage of scripture that just comes to the forefront of my mind, and it's the perfect passage of scripture. Or if we're witnessing to someone and they ask us a question and we just have a ready answer that the Holy Spirit it's almost like puts the sword into our hand that we can use it now to repel the resistance that someone might be putting up to what we're saying. So he further identifies the sword of the Spirit, he says, which is the word of God. And what's interesting for the word, we normally think of the Greek word logos, which is a fairly familiar term for Greek word for most Christians. This is actually not logos, it's the Greek word rhema, which means a spoken word. And the idea is it's more of a specific passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance, and then we speak it from the written word. And so it's just almost like becomes front load. It's on the tip of our tongue. And there's this impulse to now speak this particular verse. And so that's what Paul is saying, that as we go into battle, the Holy Spirit must be giving us strength and guiding our thoughts and our mind and bringing specific passages of Scripture that apply to this specific situation. And Kent, the perfect example is when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time, there were three specific temptations to turn these stones into bread and to bow down and worship me and to jump off the temple and God will send angels to catch you. Jesus didn't just say, well, the entire Bible says. No, he had specific. He goes, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jump off the temple. You shall not put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Bow down and worship me. He quotes a different verse. You shall have no other gods before me. So in that passage in Luke, we read that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit of God filled Jesus in his sinless humanity. The Holy Spirit governed and controlled him. And under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus in his humanity wielded the sword of the Spirit to repel the temptations of the devil. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, first of all, I want you to commit on air that you're going to do a study on the Holy Spirit, because we don't talk about the Holy Spirit
anymore. Yeah. Okay, we're going to do that.
We're going to do that in Steadfast Hope.
Because
I think I need it more.
Yeah.
And I think the reason maybe we don't, before I get into my questions, is because the Spirit came to point us towards Christ, not himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to elevate who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so him being the third person of the Trinity is significant here.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is.
The Holy Spirit is in our lives, right? When we are saved, he is deposited in our heart.
Yeah.
You might talk about that. What does that mean when we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit in our heart? Because I know that I pray a lot of times, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And I don't mean give me your Spirit, but strengthen me in your Spirit. You might talk about that, because sometimes we feel closer to the Lord and sometimes we don't. We can grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit.
Yeah,
but we already have
the
Spirit in our life.
Yeah, we do have the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Romans 8, it says, if anyone has not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Romans 8, verse, I think it's 6. And so it's critically important that we understand that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. And he is the governing power inside of us, almost like the engine inside of a car. I mean, he's driving us.
Yeah.
Even the steering wheel directing us as we live our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. We don't live the Christian life in our own strength and in our own ability. Someone as well said, the Christian life's not hard. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible apart from the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he takes over full responsibility for every area of our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. When we're weak, he brings strength. When we're confused, he gives us wisdom. When we're discouraged, he gives us great encouragement. When we're fearful, he gives us boldness. When we're down, he gives us joy and peace. When we are undisciplined, he gives us self-control. I mean, all of this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he is the agent of our sanctification. For it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. And it is the third person of the Trinity who is at work within us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, Kent, we do need to talk about the Holy Spirit more. And I think sometimes we are hesitant, maybe because there's such abuses of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
out there that we don't want to almost be in that parade,
right?
Because it's just headed off a cliff in another direction. We want sound doctrine, mm-hmm. and we want to talk about the truth concerning the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, we don't have much time, but there are days in my Christian life, and I'm sure in our listeners and in yours, where I just don't feel as close to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then there are days where I really feel more filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I've heard you talk about that before. What does that mean? And just explain that as we finish up.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. It's very hard to go by our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because times when we feel like we're all alone, we've been abandoned, maybe those times when the Holy Spirit is actually doing his greatest work in mm-hmm. us, when mm-hmm. we need him the most.
That's good.
And at other times, we may feel maybe overconfident and maybe too confident, mm-hmm. and we lose a sense of dependence and reliance.
That's good.
Upon the Holy Spirit. And so it's really hard to go by just our feelings. And that's hard to register. But nevertheless, there are times I am consciously aware that this is the work of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. in me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's while I'm preaching, while I'm teaching, while I'm witnessing.
Feel more of his presence.
I do. At mm-hmm. times to love someone who's a challenge, mm-hmm. to be patient with,
yeah.
and to love. Mm-hmm. At times to forgive someone mm-hmm. that has really been... has done you wrong, and you are aware this must be the work of the Lord in me, because there's no way I could be doing this. Or even to persevere and endure in prayer,
mm-hmm.
that's just the Holy Spirit giving us mm-hmm. stamina spiritually to continue to do what the Lord has called us to do. Or even supernatural peace at times. Mm-hmm. Like I really ought to be more worried, mm-hmm. but the Lord has just given
that's
me
good.
Peace. And so those are just some examples. That's a great question, Kent. We need to be more aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today for Steadfast Hope. And just know that it's even the Holy Spirit who enlarges our steadfast hope in the Lord. And I just trust that you know the Lord and that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Well, thank you for joining us. For Kent Steinbeck, I'm Steve Lawson. God bless you. See you next time for Steadfast Hope.